morning. I'd like to call the January 12, 2012 City of Daytona Beach Code Enforcement Board meeting to order, please. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Here.
Here.
Here. I'd like to... Do we need a motion? Or the excuse? Chair would entertain a motion excusing both Mrs. Himes and Mr. Borns for today's meeting.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Kundick. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Have all members of the board had the opportunity to review the December 8, 2011 meeting minutes? Yes. So are there any changes or corrections?
Move to approve.
We have a motion by Mr. Brown.
Second.
And second by Mrs. Smart. Are there questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Are there any members of the board who had any ex parte communication with any person who might be testifying or a respondent to any case? The announcements are cases that are in compliance includes case number 10, which is CEB 1111159. Case number 13, which is case number CEB 011201, which is in compliance as of January 4, 2012. Case number 10, for the record, was in compliance as of December 8, 2011. Case number 14 is in compliance as of January 4th, and the case number is CEB 011202. Based on information that was provided by the board secretary, case number 17, which is CEB 011205, is being withdrawn. Are there any additional announcements?
No, Mr. Staff.
Well, I have a question, and maybe this isn't allowed. Why is it being withdrawn? It's been on the books for 2 months, and why is it suddenly being withdrawn?
I can answer that. I've had to send a notice to them for non-conforming use.
She needs to be sworn.
If he would have went forth...
Before
I'm sorry.
That, will all members of staff please come forward? Will all members of staff who are going to be testifying today please come forward and be sworn?
As I was saying, there is going to be a new case. My name is Barbara Collins. I'm Code Enforcement City of Daytona. There is going to be a new case. It's a multifamily, illegal multifamily use right now. His violations are for a multifamily. I have to recite it for the non-conforming, and he's got to return it back to a single-family residence. So that's why his case is withdrawn.
Okay. I just noticed there was something in here that said should not be rented. Is it not being rented now?
17.
I don't know if I'm allowed to open the questions.
No, you're not allowed to ask. The case is not before us.
Okay.
You're not allowed to ask any questions. You just let us know there's going to be some additional cases coming forward.
All right.
Just a little information for members of the audience. If you would, when you approach the podium, would you please speak into the microphone? And I'd also like to ask that all members of the audience, please, check your cell phones now and make sure they're either on silent or vibrate mode. Okay. I'm going to hear our cases, beginning with case number 1, which is CEB 08-11107, Martha P. Taylor. The property is located at 38 and 36 South Hollywood Avenue. Is the respondent here?
I don't see them. My name is Barbara Collins. I'm employed by the City of Daytona Beach as code officer, and my credentials are on file. We're here for case number CEB 0811107, City of Daytona versus Martha Taylor. Address is 38 and 36 South Hollywood. Parcel number is 5304-01-190090. We gave him the opportunity of 60 days to paint. Nothing has been done. He has not been in contact with me. The city is recommending $100 per day fine, capped at $20,000.
Members of the board who might have any questions regarding the case to Ms. Collins. Based on the inspector's testimony, she has indicated that the city would like to request a $100 per day fine effective today with a maximum amount of $20,000. Chair would entertain that motion.
So moved.
I did. That's the response. We have a motion by Mr. Brown. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Smart. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Thanks, Barbara.
Thank you.
Case number two is CEB 031139, Paul G. and Linda E. Hurl. Property is located at 136 South Peninsula Drive. Mr. Respondent here. Good morning, Michael. And we're here to consider an imposition of a fine.
Good morning. My name is Michael Fitzgerald. I'm employed with the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer. My credentials are on file with the city. City of Daytona Beach versus Christopher and Anna Eckstein.
Harold.
Paul Harold.
City of Daytona Beach versus Harold Paul G. and Linda E. Property address is 136 South Peninsula Drive. Parcel number 0515330700050. As you see up here, what's going on right now for the update is that the last law firm had problems, and it's been given to a new law firm. They've substituted. And the new law firm, I spoke with them this morning. They're going to continue with the maintenance of the property. It's almost ready to be foreclosed on, but they need to go over every document that was signed by the last law firm to make sure that it was correctly done.
With that in mind, Michael, since this is before us for a fine, would it do us any good?
And we also made a deal with the attorneys and the bank that if they continue to maintain it at the beginning, that we would give them time to foreclose on it and then do what they need to do was right.
But it's going to be a good idea if maybe to bring this back one more time just to make sure that it does go through foreclosure and just take it through. So it doesn't fall through the cracks of the seating.
So maybe we make a
continue the case for a few months.
Okay.
Continue.
She said they've already filed the final document, but they want to go back and over every document that was signed and make sure that it was correct because the law firm before it had some kind of problems.
Maybe it's 60 or 90 days or anything back, but make sure we
Michael, according to your record, well, the record that's been provided on 10-6-2010, it appears as though they did have a hearing, and the plaintiffs filed a motion for a summary of final judgment and foreclosure.
Yes.
What was it?
I think the initial problem was that it was a big
turn case. Oh, insurance cases, okay.
And then it got taken over, and now it looks like there's a new law firm.
Yeah, what happened was it was a law firm. think out of Hollywood, it was not far to somewhere. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Stephen. Yeah.
And they had done all these foreclosures in front of them properly.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion that we continue this case or
amend our previous order.
Amending our previous order and continuing this case till our April 4th meeting.
April 12th.
April
12th.
4th, 2012 meeting. Right? No, meeting. Do we need to set a time slot?
No, we can just make it back at 7 meeting.
Yeah. Bring it back for our April 12th meeting with an update, or?
Yeah, I guess if you're bringing me back for an update, do you want to wait till April?
I would prefer to do it maybe by March myself. That gives them at least 60 days. I think within 60 days we should know something or have an update of some kind, whether it has proceeded through the courts or not, if the court date has been set for the foreclosure, etc. I would be more comfortable personally with March versus April.
As long as that gives us enough time, we just want to make sure we have enough time.
I'll understand again if we have to.
Okay. And that motion moving this case till March 8th meeting.
We have a motion by Mr. Brown. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second by Ms. Kundick. Are there questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign.
Are we
amending
the
compliance date, or
we're just continuing?
Continuing
everything
until
March
8th. Okay. Case number 3 is CEB 051168, Christopher and Anna Eckstein. Property is located at 229 South Grandview Avenue. Mr. Respondent here. And we're here for consideration of imposition of a fine.
Good morning. My name is Michael Fitzgerald. I'm employed with the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer. My credentials are on file with the city. Case number is EB051168, City of Daytona Beach versus Christopher and Anna Eckstein. Property address is 229 South Grandview Avenue, Daytona Beach, Florida. Parcel number 09153309030080. We're recommending a $500 day fine with capped at $20,000.
Michael, any contact from either of them since our last meeting?
The contact I got was Amy was sent us a document showing that the property was being foreclosed on.
I just have a quick question, Michael. Considering, and I'm not negating what you're saying, what you're requesting in terms of the amount of the fine, I'm just looking at the type of violation. And I'm curious as to why you, or how you came up with $500 per day amount.
We worked with these people a lot, and the broken windows. So we asked them to tear down the porch, fix that door, and we asked them to pull permits for everything. They pulled permits to remove the property, the porch, but then they put in an illegal window, and they never pulled a permit as per instructed by you all. So. This is the back. The windows that you just saw there are still boarded up as of this morning. So he never fixed them. So with their lack of cooperation. Place is occupied, sir.
What is your recommendation in terms of the property being occupied? Or can we really do anything?
Well, I'm going to be turning that back unit over to the fire department. Because one of those windows is in a bedroom, and so Mr. Newell or one of the fire inspectors can go out there and also cite them for that as a life safety issue.
You do realize if we fine them $500 per day, that we're going to max out in 40 days.
Right, and then we'll write it again.
Okay. Based on the inspector's testimony, he is recommending that we impose a fine of $500 per day with a maximum amount of $20,000. Given consideration to his testimony, Chair would entertain a motion to that effect. Do we have such a motion?
So moved.
Can I?
Motion, Ms. Kundick.
Sure. Ask a question.
The property is a rental, so
I think it's less than $500,000.
Okay.
but it's like worthless.
It's not worth $500,000.
Can I ask about the minutes of the last meeting?
Hold on a minute, Ms. Mm-hmm. Harrington. Did we get a second? Ms. Koenig was the motion. Did we have a second?
I'll second.
Can we write it again?
And we have a second by Mr. Brown. Mr. Harrington has a question.
I thought, after long discussion on this, looks like it has the same case number. Mr. Harrington motioned to amend the previous order of noncompliance to allow the response until January 4th. Prior to that, we had a $200 a day, so I have the same question. Why did we jump from 200 to 500?
I'm wondering if that's not a different case. There were two cases.
Two different cases?
Yeah, two different cases. There was an inside case and an outside case.
Oh, that's what that is. Okay. I thought they had the same number.
No, it was two separate cases.
With 511-68.
That they have the same number in the minutes.
Oh. Mm-hmm. And this additional information for the board, there is a notice of foreclosure sale scheduled for February 10th, 2012. My position is that it doesn't affect anything that you should do right now because we don't know what happened on that day or if we have been involved.
I'd like to ask Ms. Koenig if she would consider including an effective date for the fine and ask that it will be effective today. January 12, 2012.
I'll amend my motion to make the fine effective as of today.
Hey, Mr. Brown, would you consider amending your second?
Yes, sir.
Second. Are there additional questions by members of the board?
I have the same problem that Mr. Harrington had. I'm looking at 05-1168. This is the case we're talking about now. Is this correct?
Yes.
And I see with the discussion that we had that Ms. Koenig had suggested a fine of $200 per day effective December 8th, the maximum of $20,000. Then she withdrew her motion, and we had until today, or until that January 4th, come in compliance. And then,
right.
If not, be returned for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 a day until compliance is achieved.
They have the same description.
The same
it says rotting wood.
That's correct.
The only thing is, you left off in the case number 3 before the date. In the minutes, it says case number 3, CEB 511-68. In this new agenda, it says number, it's not listed, and then it says 511-68, but the description is the same. Peeling paint, rotting wood.
So is the question, why are we going to 500 instead of 200?
Yes.
Doesn't it say 1,000?
Up to 1,000.
No, not up to 1,000.
Right. Okay. We have an option of fining the respondents up to 1,000. So basically, I don't think we set the fine last month. We discussed a fine, but we didn't impose a fine. We were trying to allow them the opportunity
So we're going with $500 today?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the motion and the second.
All right.
Are there additional questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. And thanks, Michael. Did you roll that? I think that's it for you. Hector, did you still want to do the minimal, then go to the max in terms of number of cases? Okay. Excuse us a moment, Vicki.
Edwin.
Can we go to case number 10? If you want to do that. Oh, case number 10 is in compliance. Again, for the record, case number 10 is CEB 1111159, and that was in compliance as of December 8th, 2011. Case number 11 is a new case, which is CEB 011207, Veronica T. Birch. Is the respondent here? Morning, Eddie.
Morning, members of the board. Eddie Lopez. Eddie Lopez, Daytona Beach Code Enforcement. Case number CEB 011207, City of Daytona Beach versus Victoria T. Birch. Property address is 231 Weaver Street in Daytona Beach, city limits. Property ID number is 3915-3202-050180. Violation is 304.2 Article 19, Section 1 of the Land Development Code. Pictures you're about to see are true and accurate. This property has exterior lack of paint. It needs to be done. I spoke with the property owner. Property owner worked for the university. She wasn't able to make it, but she was. She informed me she was going to go ahead and paint the property within 30 days. So if we can extend it to the next hearing. It's Veronica, correct, yes. Apologize.
Are you saying allow her until February 9th? Excuse me, February 1st?
Yes. Next cutoff.
Okay. Based on the information that's provided by the inspector, the chair would entertain a motion responding non-compliance and allowing the respondent until February 1st, 2012. Come into compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. Is that such a motion? Motion by Mr. Smarter.
Second.
Second by Mr. Brown. Are there questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Excuse me. Okay. Case number 12 is CEB 011208. Selena C. Davis. The property is located at 324 Bartley Road.
Eddie Lopez, Daytona Beach, Court
Ms. Davis. Ms. Davis, you can come up.
Oh.
Just for the record, I know Ms. Davis because she works with the same employer that I have, but we don't have a relationship whereby. No.
My name is Selena Hamilton, and I'm the owner of 324 Bartley Road, Daytona Beach, Florida. Yes.
Davis hyphen Hamilton or just Hamilton?
Davis is a part of my middle name.
Okay. Do we need a motion, Amy, or just write, speak it into the record?
Okay. Eddie Lopez, Daytona Beach Code Enforcement Officer. Case number CEB 011208, City of Daytona Beach versus Selena C. Davis Hamilton. Property address is 324 Bartley Road within Daytona Beach city limits. Property ID is number 38153225000060. Violation is 304.2 protective treatment. Pictures you're about to see are true and accurate. I have made contact with Selena, and she's requesting 30 days to come into compliance. So requesting that time frame.
Would you like to make any comments, Ms. Hamilton?
Well, my request, I did request an additional 30 days. I was not aware of not painting my home was in compliance. If I would have known, then I would have done it 6 years ago when I had it done. It was painted before, but I happened to like the gray, and I told them I decided I didn't want to paint it. So with the additional 30 days, I'll make sure it is painted, and I'll pick a color and put it on the
ceiling. So do you believe that February 1st will be sufficient time to get it done?
I work at Bethune-Cookman. We get paid every 30 days. So if you're going to give me 30 days is my paycheck, the last day of the month. So if I could have until the 5th of February at least.
Will March 1st be better?
March 1st is fine.
Eddie, do you agree? Okay. Okay. Ms. Hamilton, do you agree that some or all of the violations existed at the time of notice?
Well, I did read this and I did talk to Mr. Lopez. I didn't receive the first notice. I did get the one on the door. It was as there, and that's when we tried to respond to him. My husband actually called him, and then we came down, but he was in a meeting, and we couldn't get to him. And over the holidays, I called several times, but he was on vacation, and we discussed that. So that was why he agreed to give me the extra time to do it.
Chair will entertain a motion finding respondent in noncompliance and allowing the respondent until March 1st, 2012 to come into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved. $20,000, not $20,000 per day.
And I said up to $1,000 per day.
Oh, I guess I didn't hear you. That was
there
a little
second?
Step.
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Smart, second by Mrs. Kundick. Other questions or comments by members of the board?
Mr. Chair, I guess I can be corrected by the board, and I'm sure I will. Versus us finding this person in noncompliance, would it be best just to move this case to next month versus finding them in noncompliance since we have somebody who's going to work with us?
You have no option to do that. It would just be continued to be
right.
March.
But if it doesn't happen, then
we'll. There's no information at
I do.
Morning, Charles.
Morning. Charles Bryant.
Hold on.
Charles Bryant, Midtown Redevelopment Manager for the City of Daytona Beach. I do believe this property is in the Midtown Redevelopment Area, therefore she would have to get a letter before she can paint the house, a letter from our department with approving the colors. I just want to make sure she knows that. I will give her my card and a contact number that she can reach.
Charles, how much time do you think that may take?
She could probably go and it's a matter of just getting paint chips and bringing it in and getting it approved. We just want to make sure it, I know it hadn't been painted in 6 years. We want to make sure she don't have to repaint it.
Okay. Step up to the mic, Sam.
As opposed to me going getting chips and coming back continuous times, could I be provided with the colors of options?
Yeah, you have an option. Our technician, Gina Tollett, you can go and speak with her now, and she can give you the list of colors that we have that are available, and you can pick for that list if you want to, and she'll give you a letter saying this color has been approved.
Okay. So where do I go?
I'll take you down.
You can be passed.
I got the second, the December, I got the second notice. I got the notice on the door. No, I think that was the second one. And then I got the mail. So my mail is fine. This was the third notice. The door, one before the door, I got the second, and I got this one.
Okay.
I
did. Your mailing address is correct.
My mailing address is,
okay.
My mailing address is correct.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
Yes.
We'll pick a nice comment.
Okay, thank you.
Did we vote on this case yet?
No.
Okay.
We were at questions.
Okay.
Are there any additional
and
questions?
And did we want to continue the case?
Right.
Was that your question,
that
Rico?
That was my question,
yeah.
Whether we should continue the case versus finding the person in noncompliance versus just...
You can have an option. You can ask amend the motion. Just consider continuing the case. If it gets voted in, continue.
Would that be necessary, though?
No, because what happens is it's going to be, if you vote on what you're doing now, it's going to be a noncompliance. So the advantage of that is you can come back in March and go ahead and find her. If we didn't continue the case, we came back in March, what it had been done,
right.
We'd have to go back to the family.
Right. Okay.
Additional time. It's just 30 days one way or the other.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Question answered. Proceed with motion.
Are there any additional questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign.
I apologize. What was the final ruling there?
They did find her noncompliance, gave it to March 1st. March 2nd, come out day back here in March. March 1st, come out day back here in March 4th. March 8th.
Thank you.
Let's see. 15 going back to Vicky's case.
Thank you.
Again, for the record, case number 13, which is CEB 011201, is in compliance as of January 4, 2012. Case number 14, CEB 011202, is in compliance as of January 4, 2012, again, for the record. Case number 15, which is CEB 011203, LG TRCI Incorporated, G Gang Incorporated, and Arjan and Michelle Dodani, 777 Main Street. Is the respondent here? Yeah, we'll just go ahead. He has, he only, because his is in compliance, he only has three cases.
Oh, okay.
Good morning, David. And welcome.
Welcome. David Newell, Fire EMS Specialist, Daytona Beach Fire Department, and City of Daytona Beach. Yes, ma'am. Yes, it is. David Newell, Daytona Beach Fire Department, Fire EMS Specialist, also Fire Inspector for the Daytona Beach Fire Department. Currently here today, we have a non-compliance with the sprinkler system that is located at 777 Main Street. They did not have an actual inspection. Then when they had an inspection, there was deficiencies, and those deficiencies were not corrected. I've been by there a few times with no corrections being made, with the last one being on the 4th. Still, the corrections haven't been made. I have spoken with who their contractor is, just because we talk on a normal basis with all the contractors, and no, at that point of when I spoke to them, there had been no move forward on making the corrections. The corrections are simple in nature, small minor violations, nothing to magnitude of costing a lot of money to fix.
Okay. What's your recommendation in terms of compliance?
For this, I'm going to recommend to move for another 30 days because this specific violation on here can interrupt or hurt their ability to for Bike Week and Biketoberfest, and I want to make sure they still have an opportunity to move forward within that if they can. So if we can maybe extend for 30 days if possible.
My
a continuance, I guess, but they're still
non-compliant. Their ability to participate with Bike Week.
Mr. Newell?
Yes, ma'am.
These people were first notified on 3/3/2011. That's 10 months ago.
Yes. What happened was is we had done the Bike Week rounds and caught it on the Bike Week rounds. During the Bike Week rounds is when we found that the inspection had not been completed. The inspection had been completed after that, and the violation was then with the deficiency. I'm sorry, the deficiencies at that time were noted. That paperwork was in with all the Bike Week paperwork from 4/3, which was then misplaced by myself. And so essentially a reinspection didn't occur back until November because of that misplace of paperwork, because it was put in with the Bike Week paperwork that we typically do. So that's why that there's a huge gap in time frame.
Well, one more question. Is this a rental property?
No. This is a these are the people that actually own the property. They run half of the building themselves, and then they rent out the other half.
So
it's split into two sections.
Is it a duplex then?
No. This is on Main Street. This is actual a commercial structure.
Oh, this is a commercial.
This is commercial. This isn't residential. This is commercial. This is the Harley Davidson building.
You misplaced the paperwork, but they knew that this violation had occurred, and you had cited them.
Yes, sir. They were cited.
Why did they not take care of it?
I didn't get an exact answer on that, to be honest with you, sir.
Well, it bothers me that they ignore this issue and then come cry, we're going to lose our Bike Week business because we didn't take care of a violation we had months ago.
They didn't cry. They didn't cry about that. Essentially, I believe it's in the, or it's if you're found in non-compliance, and maybe Mr. Jackson can help out a little bit more with that. You can have your ability to not be able to participate in Bike Week events.
I
have not said that to them. I just know of that, and I'm sure that they are aware of that. I don't know if Tony may be able to shed a little bit more light on that.
I don't see that as having any relevance to not doing what you're supposed to do.
And Mr. Harrington, That's just a recommendation from the inspector. Obviously, the ultimate decision on that is the board. I think the inspector's point is that the nature of the repairs themselves is relatively minor. For whatever reason he had an oversight, he felt better having the opportunity to remind them of this, the impact, since it is a major impact, a three-year impact for them if they fail to comply. So he just felt the need to be able to give them that reminder and give them that added chance. But that's really up to you guys.
There's a major impact if this place catches on fire, too.
I understand.
If it's not, there shouldn't even be the inspection. So the implication is it is not a safe structure because it has failed an inspection. The inspection's been ignored for months, and now our concern, it comes to us, is that they won't be able to participate in Bike Week. And I don't see the relevancy. Either people are going to get cited and they're going to fix it, or they're going to ignore it because they can come and say, we can't make a buck. And I don't see that as a legitimate argument.
I raised that question, Mr. Herring, just to make sure they were aware. Believe me, not in any way being sympathetic toward them, toward not being able to make a buck, especially when they've known for over a year that these violations have existed. I just wanted to make sure that they were aware of it because, you know, if so, then it's apparent that, you know, basically they're not showing any level of respect toward the rules that we have in place. But as long as they have been aware of it, I have no problem finding them in noncompliance. They knew the ramifications when they didn't correct this when they got first notified.
David, how much dialogue have you had with the respondents over the course of 11 months?
The dialogue was initially, obviously, Bike Week time frame, a little bit more during the 11th, but on the 4th when I was there, I haven't had any dialogue since November. Because they're either not there. I don't know if they travel. I'm not really sure. But, you know, the correspondence wasn't there. I went to their office, which is located there. Somebody wasn't there, or I've been able to get somebody else. Well, they don't make the decision there or something like that. So I haven't had direct correspondence in reality probably for a month and a half with the individuals who are the owners of that property.
Let me ask another question. Is there a business that is actually operating there on a daily basis?
Yes, and I've been there on those. When I've been there, there's always been one of the two businesses have been open. Yes, sir.
When they were first notified back in March of last year, they knew that they needed to have this fixed.
Yes, sir.
I mean, yeah, we didn't follow up, so on and so forth, but they got notice last year to have this fixed.
Yes, sir. They got a notice.
Ms. Gundy?
I'd like to make a motion to find them in noncompliance.
Before we do that, let me ask Mr. Newell another question. I believe I heard you say that it's a minor fix. Is that correct?
Yeah, they're minor fixes. Yes, they're not. You know, if they were in... if they were significant, we'd have them on a 30-day, which means they would have 30 days to correct something and it was immediate, or we have certain things that are considered 7 days, or certain things that are considered where they have to go on fire watch right now and put somebody at the property 24 hours a day until those violations are corrected. These violations that were under this specific violation do not meet those criteria. So they're very minor, and they're minor in nature. If they were in huge in nature, and by I say huge in nature, painted sprinkler heads where they wouldn't work, valves that were corroded and rusted, such like that, where we would have significant problems with if a fire were to start at that problem, I would be, suggesting being a little bit more, being very stern on them for not doing what they're supposed to. But again, these are minor in nature, so that's why, just trying to work, obviously. I liked working with business owners, too, and since that's what I was trying to do here.
Let me ask you another question, and I agree with you in terms of allowing businesses to operate and make money. But just for the record, can you give us more information so we'll better understand the problem with the sprinkler system and why you cited them?
The new one had problems with the 5-year internal inspection, which is supposed to be done. They had gauges that were out of date, and then there was the actual there was a calculation plate missing were the three main violations, and then a couple other little minor things.
Now, when you say the new one, what are you referring to?
I'm sorry. When they actually did the actual violation, or when they when I actually cited them, that's what I cited them for. Excuse me. I cite somebody when I receive a report, which I receive daily from the different contractors. It tells me that it's in compliance, not in compliance, or if the actual what the problems are and need to be corrected. Stuff like of a data plate I'm not too concerned with, but problems that concern me, a five-year internal inspection, the gauges need to be replaced, those type of things are required by law to be done. The reason why I don't enforce the hydraulic calc plate too much is because it's very, very costly, and it requires engineers, and it's a huge, big old deal that really is nothing more than just a couple of numbers on a plate. But so those were the main items, five-year internal inspection, and gauges that needed to be taken care of.
So if there were a fire at this location today?
The system would operate.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Well, I have a hard one with this, but I don't want to deny somebody the right to earn a living, but we've got to find a way, and I mean all of it, I don't blame you, that when we go, we send an inspector out, whether it's the fire, code enforcement, whatever it is, that these people don't have to wait till you get back to them with a hammer, that they're going to do what they're asked to do. And that's what concerns me. So as far as my vote, I'll take your recommendation. But I just am not comfortable with people who just ignore it. I'm just not comfortable with it.
Just to give you a little bit of a background, general as a whole, the 13 years I've been in this industry and the 5 years in Daytona, I've really never had a problem with compliance. And as you know, the first time, this is my first time here, I've got to a point where I'm tired of giving second and third chances and fourth chances and fifth chances. So in order to make the building safe for either the owners, the tenants, or the people that come and visit the city to spend money in the city, I want to make sure if I need to move forward to bring them to you to make that happen, you know, that's what I'm going to do. But normally, I've always had good working relationship with the business owners and not a problem with compliance. And so,
I don't think that we're denying anyone the opportunity to do business if these are minor fixes and it won't cost a lot of money to fix them. Now, one doesn't seem that. So I don't think we're denying anybody
the
ability to do business.
We're talking about the Main Street plan. Evidently, within that, if you're in non-compliance in something, you will not be granted the license to do business for Oktoberfest.
And that's so it's more complicated than that.
Yeah. For the next 3 years, too. It can be
withheld. Well, they've had a whole year to fix it, and I really am.
I understand.
In favor of having them fix it now.
Well,
and that would give them, if we found them in non-compliance today, wouldn't it give them 30 days to fix it, or no?
Well, Oktoberfest is right around the corner.
Bike week is
March. Right the corner, yeah.
That's not
if
really
we get,
the point.
That's February.
That isn't the point.
No, what I mean, Mr. Herron, is if we find them in non-compliance, that denies them the opportunity
right.
to participate.
And
that's my
concern is.
Yeah. David, let me ask, if we continue the case, let's say for 30 days, with the option of finding them not in non-compliance if it is not the issues are not corrected within 30 days, and they fully understand that if they are found in non-compliance, they will not be able to participate in Bike Week or Biketoberfest for 3 years, mm-hmm. 3 years, do you think we can get these issues resolved?
Yes, I do. As long as I can.
February 8th, 9th meeting.
As long as I have the ability, or somebody can meet me and talk to me, and that kind of stuff. In the event that that's not possible and that doesn't happen, then we find them in non-compliance, and then they have to deal with the ramifications of that. So, if we do a continuance, if that's what you guys would like, then we can move forward with that, and we can continue to the next meeting. And if that's not taken care of, we'll. Because I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Jackson, but if they are found in non-compliance today, they go straight to, it doesn't matter, there's, they go straight to 3 years without, isn't that what we're,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask Mr. Jackson, what's the city's position if we were to continue the case and allow them until the 1st of February? Well, that's only actually 2 weeks.
Mr. Newell is representing the city commission, and we've talked about that, and quite honestly, with him not coming to the board as frequent, I think even when we initially talked about it, he had a thought of having that as part of his plan, not realizing that there was a process that once you guys have it, it's what you do, not what he does.
Do you think, David, the problem or the violations can be corrected within, is it 2 weeks or 3 weeks? Because the 1st of February is only a few weeks away. It's not a full 30 days. Or should we allow them until March 1st, still having the opportunity to, when is...
These violations could be corrected in a day.
Okay. Oh, okay. So, yeah.
So they, I mean, if I could get a hold of them, we could send them another letter again. I wouldn't go past February 1st, in my opinion. Give them this. Again, the corrections are minor. They make a phone call to the contractor, secure the permit, and then they can be done within a day or two.
And Mr. Chair, just for the sake of the news, one of the things that what happens next is they'll give me a letter from Andy, which would be representing the voice of hope. So,
okay.
You know, wherever we are now, let's continue or whatever. You know, I think we can go ahead and send that letter. And then we can all rest assured that we can all.
Do we need a motion for continuance until February 1st?
Well,
February
Lincoln.
9th, actually. February.
Do I have to withdraw my non-compliance motion?
Yes.
I'll withdraw my non-compliance.
We have a second. So that wasn't
right,
a second.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion that we continue the present case until our February 9th meeting.
We have a motion by Mr. Brown.
Second
by Mr. Harrington, I believe.
Yeah.
Are there any questions or comments by members of the board?
No.
Hearing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Case number 16 is CEB 01-1204, Daytona Ocean Sands, LLC. The property is located at 1024 North Atlantic Avenue. Is the respondent here?
Yes, he is here today.
Waldemar Rochinski. I do. It's R-U-C-I-N-S-K-I.
Thank you.
David, what can you tell us about it?
What we have here is the violations that are above here are at the time his fire alarm system was showing trouble. Trouble can mean many different things. As he'll probably tell you, it could be some of it was communication errors, some of it was smoke detectors, many different things. The second was there was low audibility, which means it didn't meet the statutory requirements to where somebody would be able to hear it in the event the alarm goes off to be able to exit. That's number two. And then number three, the sprinkler system that he has on site is required. The sprinkler system only, water flow alarms which are installed are required to be monitored off site. When this place was built and put in place, you did not have to monitor the whole entire building. Today's codes, or more recent codes, would now make his entire building be monitored, unfortunately. But his sprinkler system, so in the event of water flow is happening, that would notify the alarm company, which would then notify our dispatch center and would have the fire department come out, you know, because the head would trip, obviously, if a fire or something were to happen. So that's the only part of his system that needs to be monitored off-site. I know he said it hasn't been monitored off-site before, or maybe it was at one point. I'm not really sure. Through the inspection process here as of on the last inspection of 1-4 when I was there last. The trouble light had been corrected, and at that time the audibility still was not corrected in the monitoring off-site. No paperwork was shown that the audibility monitoring of off-site had not been taken care of.
Mr. Rosinski, what is your relationship to Daytona Ocean Sands LLC?
I am one of the partners.
Okay. What would you like to tell us regarding your the violations that have been cited?
Well, first of all, the technician was here 2 days or 3 days ago, and he stated that everything is working. As far as off-site monitoring, we have a front desk sitting next to the alarm system, and I believe that they are the first one to see any problem with the alarm, and they can call fire. We are here 12 years. We never had any instance of need for fire department or anybody else to come to the property.
This is code for it to be done off-site, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Do you understand that, sir? That this is regulations that it be done off-site, not that it's an option for you to do it on-site.
I spoke to Mr. Newell about this issue, and he says, well, he would go deeper into this issue. Is it necessary if we have a person sitting next to alarm system 24 hours a day?
In certain sections, when I did tell him, I did look at it, and we got back with him on that. The code doesn't allow for, in certain sections of the code, it will allow for 24-hour monitor or 24-hour on-site. Now, that is how he's actually currently allowed through the code to not monitor the entire place. If he were not to have that 24-hour individual at the front desk, then at that point he would then have to monitor the entire system. Unfortunately, requirements in the sprinkler system or the water flow don't fall under that criteria. It is entirely, totally separate than the actual different than the actual monitoring of the entire smoke detectors, pull stations, and such. So this is nothing more than the sprinkler system. The water flow alarms are on the actual building, on the flow switches as it's supposed to be, but they're just not tied into any monitoring system off-site. So the system's already in place, it just is not monitored off-site.
Do you understand that you have to have this monitored off-site? Is that, if what you're saying, if you think someone watching the panel 24 hours a day will suffice, and that's not going to suffice. Do you understand that, sir?
Well, as I said, the last conversation with Mr. Newell was that he would find out a little deeper if we really need, if we have person sitting next to alarm. Any sensor is brought to the alarm panel and is immediately visible to the front desk person. So front desk person is the first one who would know what is going on with the system. Any pull station or any open valve on the floor would be immediately visible on the panel. The fire alarm, truck, if they come, they would do the same thing. They would just look on the panel what is going on because they...
Okay. I think you're still missing the point that this has to be monitored off-site.
Well, if it has to be monitored, we'll have the monitoring company, but they are not going to know as much as we know immediately at the panel.
David, how much time do you think it would take for them to bring the property into compliance and establish some off-site monitoring and correcting other issues?
If he's saying that the audibility has been corrected, I would just need the paperwork for him to correct that. That would be done. So essentially the sprinkler system monitoring within this next month, I think he could make some phone calls to some different monitoring companies and secure a contract between now and then. The only thing is prior to the next meeting, I would have to do a test of the system to ensure that that's taken care of. So I think 30 days of securing an actual company, and actually the company I believe that he utilizes for his alarm system does do monitoring also if he so chooses to use them. I think he can secure that within the next month, that month time frame, and move forward to with me doing an actual test prior to coming back next month.
So do you believe between now and February 1st you'll have the opportunity to complete an inspection, and Mr. Rosinski can also maybe establish a relationship with a monitoring company?
I don't see a problem with it.
In February or March, which one do you think will work, just to make sure we're safe?
Well, there is some pieces of equipment which would have to be ordered, and I'm not sure how quickly we can get them.
Why don't we shoot for March? Because let me just, and the reason for that is, in the event that for some reason there's some other changes that need to be made to the system that need to make it work, that would give him an ample amount of time, because we are halfway through the month already almost. So I think if I brought him back to February 1st, if changes needed to be made, being able to make them, I don't know what changes would need to be made, but I could say definitely by no later than March 1st, unless you guys or the board would like to move forward on February 1st.
Mr. Newell, this original first notification was, once again, 10 months ago. Mm-hmm. What was the hold up with this?
Again, this one right here, this was an inspection that there was actually about 19, I got it right here, there was 19 violations on the inspection through this entire process.
On the property?
On the property. There was
Other
19.
Than the fire alarm system?
No, that was 19 that I had. I had 19 by myself.
Were they just with the alarm system,
no,
those 19?
No, ma'am. There was some sprinkler system issues. He had he didn't have paperwork on showing if his inspections were done. He had some problems with smoke detectors. He had some problems with flammable materials on site. Some of his exit signs were not working. He a lot of times leaves the stairwell doors open and they don't close properly as they're supposed to by code. Storage within the I think there was some storage in the stairwells, some electrical issues. So he had a lot. He has done a lot of the stuff, with the exception of these three items. Is the last three he did not do, and we gave him time as we saw progress of things being done and being accomplished. So that's why there's an extended time on this one of trying to work with him to get some of this accomplished, because he expressed, you know, some different things that were going on. So we were trying to work with him on in this time, but he was showing progress of fixing the other things. So that's why this one showed as a little bit of a lengthy time trying to work with him.
Okay, and one more question. Is it an expensive fix to, well, it's code. It doesn't matter how much it costs to get the off-site done.
It's usually just it's a minimal fee, monthly fee, just to pay for the monitoring.
Okay.
He should not have to pay. It's already hooked up to the panel. All they should have to do is the dialer, I believe, is already installed as long as it works. So all he has to do is be able to hook it up and work. If there's a problem with the dialer, he may need to replace that. But
is that difficult to obtain, a dialer?
No, it's common.
Okay.
It's common. The only thing that could raise possibility or a problem is if for some reason those dialers aren't made for that panel, because it is a very old panel. That I have no idea of, to be honest with you. That's something why I said we would find out if there was a problem.
Mr. Rosinski, do you agree that some or all of the violations existed at the time of notice? You agree that, based on the information that Mr. Newell has presented, that some or all of those violations existed?
Well, most of the violations were, let's say, temporary. When we leave the refrigerator or so in the hallway, which was, let's say, removed in 2 days or so. So as far as closing door, housekeepers carry heavy stuff. They push the door open, and sometimes they forget to pull it behind them. but the door itself is functional and is working.
So you would say yes, these existed?
In a certain moment, yes.
Okay.
Corrected as quickly as possible.
Okay. Chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent in non-compliance and allowing the respondent until March 1st, 2012 to come into compliance be returned to the board for consideration of a fine for $1,000 per day.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Smart. Another question or comment by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay. David, would you get with Mr. Rosinski and make sure he understands completely what that is going to be required of him and the time frame that we've allowed him?
Yes, sir, I will do that.
Thanks.
For you.
I'll be there. Okay. Case number 5.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
18. I thought we did them all.
18. No.
Yes, one more. Hold on, big.
18.
Missed one. Case number 18 is CEB 011206, Anthony Marone Jr. Property is located at 402 University Boulevard. Is the respondent here?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry. Yes, he is here.
Thank you.
All right.
Let's have him swear.
Oh, sorry.
Good morning. Anthony Maroney. Yes, I do.
Back on August 22nd, we received a call to inspect this location. It's an apartment complex that houses about 5 units on the beachside, 402 University Boulevard. There were several violations cited here. No business license is supposed to be posted there at all times, and he didn't have one active. He has most of the units in there did not have active smoke detectors that were even working. There were several fire extinguishers that were not inspected and up to date. All your fire extinguishers are required to be inspected by a licensed contractor annually. His sprinkler system currently right now is not certified or inspected in the last year. And he has to install a new state statute of any commercial, industrial, or multi-unit residential above 3 units has to install a sign on the outside of the building that determines what type of structure the roof and the floor is. If you've been driving around a little bit, you may see a sign that looks like a fire department emblem and an R, an F, or an RF on it. That's a state statute that came out a year or two ago. That we've had to put into place for buildings such as Mr. Marone's. On reinspection dates, he initially in the beginning was very active speaking to me, getting it done. And then everything stopped. Last inspection on 1-4, none of the violations had been corrected at that time. I did speak with his new manager, I guess, who was moving in that day to apartment 1. I think it was apartment 1. And I looked at some different items, and business license was still not posted. None of the violations were corrected, and so this property, as of 1-4, when I did the last inspection, was in non-compliance.
Mr. Running, what would you like to say?
I have nothing good to say in my behalf. I'm very sorry, Mr. Harwell. I had lots of some personal problems I won't get into, and now I believe I'm sure the smoke detectors are taking care of the fire extinguishers. Purchased them all brand new. That card I gave you earlier from Mr. Mann at Mastercraft. He is scheduled to come next week to do the inspection of the sprinklers. I think this stuff has to be done before I get the occupational license. Is that correct? I'm not sure. I'm sorry if I'm not speaking into this. So I need to get that occupational license. But is that after this is all done, or can I get one today? I think it was like after.
with him. Unfortunately, he will be unable to get a business license. When he applies for his business license, it will require an inspection, and the inspection will show the deficiencies. So until the deficiencies are corrected, he will not obtain or have the ability to get a license. So he cannot get the license until everything is corrected.
Okay. Thank you. So the smoke detectors are taken care of, the fire extinguishers are taken care of. The Mr. Mann from Mastercraft is coming next week, beginning of the week. He can call me, set to give him a call if you have any questions. Those are the only three things that I really know about besides getting the license. And the what I mean by know about, the I wasn't clear, I'm sorry, about the license, not the license, but the tag on the wall. And can you tell me how to get one of those?
Whenever I do a violation that has this install a trust sign that you see here in item number 5, I have a little packet that shows the letter or the state statute that it has. I provide them with a state statute that shows that their building or business is required to have it. I also give them another page. PDF form of what the sign has to look like, and I will circle the R, the F, or the RF that they would need for their property. The third page is a list of vendors that supply those that I'm aware of, because there's many vendors out there that are charging $30, $40, $50 for these and trying to take care of our businesses. There's many people out there that will sell them to you for $10, $11, $12. So I have a list of vendors, you know, that they can call whomever that they would like, but it's just a suggestion list. So in the initial violation letter that was sent to him had that paperwork in there. I can provide that paperwork to him again. He can either buy them over the internet or he can get them from places that are here locally.
You said you've had done certain things. Did you bring any paperwork with you indicating that you've done those things? Like the sale, bill of sale for the
smoke detectors
or anything?
I did not. Mm-hmm. I did not receive the one package you're talking about. I'm not sure where you sent it. I'm sorry, I must have missed that. Can I pick that up downstairs today? Is that possible?
I can arrange it. My office is out of Station 1. I can make an appointment to either leave it for you, or I can mail it to you at a different address. But upon our first original inspection, you told me where to send everything, so that's where all the correspondence has been going. So that was in our conversation when we met. On our first inspection when we met, Mr. Marone was on site, and we did the inspection together, or he walked with me because I had scheduled it with him.
Mr. Maroney, is there a different address where you like any correspondence to go to besides 402 University Boulevard address?
Yes, sir. Thank you. I do have another address.
What is that address?
It's 2060 Kenilworth, Kenilworth Avenue, South Daytona, 32119.
Thank you. David, how much time do you think Mr. Maroney may need in order to bring the property into compliance?
Looking at the violations, the one I'm concerned about is the sprinkler system. I'm not sure if he can do that one within a month or not, to be honest with you. I'm not sure what significant problems. I believe, in my personal opinion, I'm not a contractor, but seeing what I see on a daily basis, I see that there's significant problems with this specific system. And he can get it inspected, tested, but will it be in compliance? I'm not sure. I can probably pretty well venture to say that I will probably get a letter from the contractor or his inspection that will say deficiencies on the system that need to be corrected. So this has been going on for a little while, and this property is, even though he says some of it's in compliance, it was still in non-compliance when I was there.
Do you think March 1st might be a sufficient amount of time in order to bring the property into compliance?
Yes, I wouldn't go any further than that.
Okay. And if necessary, based on your follow-up inspection, we can amend, if necessary, at the meeting on the 8th, March 8th.
Correct.
Okay, Chair would entertain a motion based on the inspector's testimony to find on the, well, Mr. Maroney, do you agree that some or all of the violations existed at the time of notice?
Yes, sir.
Chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent in noncompliance and based on the inspector's testimony allowing the respondent until March 1st, 2012 to bring the property into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine with the $1,000 per day.
So moved.
We have a motion by Mr. Smarge.
Second.
Second. Second by Mr. Brown. Other questions or comments?
Yes. Is it possible we could have a progress report on all of those things that are you do not feel would take until March, that we could have some evidence that smoke detectors are done? Would that be any hardship?
Go out and do a inspection before the next meeting and give you a progress report? Is that what you're asking? Yes, sir. I would be happy to do that.
Mr. Smart, would
if
you
that's what you would like.
Yes.
For the Smart. February meeting, yes.
For February. Smart, would you amend your...
amend my motion to require a progress report be given at our
February
9th meeting and then be in compliance by March the 1st.
Okay, Mr. Brown has indicated that he will also amend his second. Okay, we'll require a progress report at our February 9th meeting and compliance is set for March 1st. Are there any additional questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Thank you, David. Thank you, Mr. Maroney.
Thank you very much. Have a nice day, sir.
I'll send it out.
Okay.
Man. Mr. Newell. Now that we've settled the just out of curiosity, what's the fire insurance companies, do they have any role in this? Are they interested in the fact that people are not complying with code in terms of these sprinklers and so how do they fit in at all, or is it up to them to do their own inspections? How does that
Insurance companies?
Yeah, how do you...
Insurance companies do periodic ones. I'm not really sure. I've never contacted an insurance company to let them know. If there was a property such as a hotel that was, for an example, not working, there's several avenues we have. The first avenue is we turn around and we put them on 24-hour fire watch. If there's nothing and they're not going to do any progress, we can actually shut the place down and actually kick everybody out. But that's obviously a last resort. We've really never had to do that. Going back to the insurance agencies, they really, I don't think they play a big role, and I've never really heard that they play a big role in that. Yeah. What I will tell you is after a fire does occur, the insurance agencies or their investigators that they will go in and investigate, if it's a decent one, they will come and get all of our records, records from the incident that we ran or inspection records. So in the event that there was a fire at Mr. Maroney's property, for an example, tomorrow, they would come and get these records that we have right now to use for at however they need to.
Okay.
Just if I may, Mr. Harrington, can I defer your questions till Mr. Newell, maybe after the meeting, so that we can just get through?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought he was leaving, and I wanted to.
I'll be happy to
give him a call. Is what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'll wait around till after the meeting. If anybody,
or, no,
to
I, have,
my
I
card.
Have no.
You can just leave your card with him if you like.
Okay.
If that's.
I just for the benefit of some of the others who may have had that interest.
I just wanted to make sure we get Vicki out of here as well.
Okay.
We're ready for you. Case number 4 is CEB 1211160, Marquise S. Williams. Property is located at 1016 Cadillac Drive. Obviously, the respondent is not here. Hi,
good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Vicki Langford, employed with the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer. My credentials are on file with the city. This is case number CEV 12-11-160, City of Daytona Beach versus Marquise S. Williams. Property address is 1016 Cadillac, Daytona Beach, Florida. Parcel ID 5211 2012-03-00-0260. Violations are parking on an unproofed surface and parking a commercial vehicle in a residential neighborhood. Statutory requirements for notification were met by certified mail going to the property owner. The green card was not signed for. Both notices were posted at the property address and at City Hall at least 10 days prior to this hearing. In addition, copies of the notice were mailed by first-class mail. All of the items have been presented and are exhibits A through H. Other pertinent evidence is being supplied to each board member for their use during the hearing. The entire time that I've had this case, there has been no contact. The semi actually has been removed, but there is still a lot of trash and debris, and there are still cars being parked in the yard. Recommending $100 a day fine with a cap of $10,000.
So they moved the semi but didn't call or anything?
Correct. I have a feeling the semi got moved because they used it.
Are the cars on the routine basis, every time you go there, there's cars there, so apparently in use, and that's where they park?
Yes.
That's their practice to park on?
Yes.
And I'm sure, Vicki, based on your previous history of handling cases, you probably posted the property?
Yes. I'm sorry, I should have mentioned that in the statutory requirements that it was posted.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion effective today.
Yes.
Instituting a fine of $100 a day with a cap of, was it
$10,000.
$10,000 with a maximum of $10,000.
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Harrington. Other questions or comments by members of the board?
No.
Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Excuse me, case number 5 is CEB 1211161, Thomas S., I guess, Cianabla. The property is located at North Hollywood Avenue. The parcel number is 5304-03190090. Shall we do cases 5 and 6 together?
Yes.
I think we did them last time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mr. Brown, for bringing that to my attention. In addition to case number 5, case number 6 is CEB 1211162, Thomas S. Cianablo. Property, again, is a vacant lot, it appears, and is located in North Hollywood Avenue. The short parcel number is 5304-03190080.
Mm-hmm. I'm Vicki Langford. I'm employed by the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer. My credentials are on file with the city. City of Daytona Beach versus Thomas S. Cianablo and Peter J. Cianablo. Property address is Lot 9, and we're also doing Lot 8, North Hollywood, Daytona Beach, Florida. We are here because they have not responded at all. Again, been posted. Certified letters sent, regular mail sent, no correspondence whatsoever. So we're looking for a fine on these two parcels that are contiguous of $50 a day with a $10,000 max each.
So 50 each?
Yes.
Didn't you just say effective today, Vicki?
Yes.
$10,000 max?
Yes.
On each property.
Are we doing cases 5 and 6 now, or 7
yes.
and 8?
5 and 6.
5 and 6 is just Thomas Cianablo.
Right. And then
we'll do the other two, 7 and 8, where there's another person,
right.
Peter.
Okay. Oh, I said the other name.
Mm-hmm. Okay, based on the inspector's testimony and information that has been provided, Chair would entertain a motion. Finding the respondent in cases 5, which is, again, for the record, case number 1211161, parcel number 5304-03190090, $50 per day, effective today, January 12, 2012, $50 per day with a maximum of $10,000, In addition to case number 5, case number 6, which is CB 12111162, Thomas S. Cianoblo, vacant lot, which is located on North Hollywood Avenue, short parcel number is 53040319008. Again, based on the inspector's testimony, she's recommending that we fine the respondent $50 per day with a maximum amount of $10,000. Hearing that information, Chair would entertain a motion to that effect.
So moved.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Smart. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. Case number 7 is CEB 12111163, Thomas S. Cianoblo and Peter J. Cianoblo. Property is located on North Hollywood Avenue, and the parcel number is 530403190070. I'll be taking these together as well. In addition to case number 7, we're also going to hear testimony for case number 8, which is case number CEB 12111164, Thomas S. Cianoblo and Peter J. Cianoblo, which appears also to be a vacant lot located on North Hollywood Avenue. The short parcel number for case number 8 is 530403190060.
My name is Vicki Langford. I'm employed by the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer, and my credentials are on file with the city. We are here with the City of Daytona Beach versus Thomas S. Cianoblo and Peter J. Cianoblo. Property address is Lot 7 and Lot 6 of North Hollywood, Daytona Beach, Florida. Violations are all the fencing is not upright and the lawns are not properly maintained. Again, all the proper notifications were made. There has been absolutely no contact. These two lots are contiguous. Since we've had no contact at all, we're looking for $50 a day, $10,000 max, starting today. Both parcels, same amounts.
Is that $50 per day, Vicki?
Yes, sir.
Based on the inspector's testimony for case number 8 and case number 9, Chair would entertain Chair would entertain a motion fining the respondent $50 per day effective today, January 12, 2012, with a maximum amount of $10,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Smart, second by Mr. Brown. Other questions and comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Case number 9 is CEB 12111165, Thomas S. Cianoblo. Property is located 11 North Hollywood Avenue.
My name is Vicki Langford. I'm employed with the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer. My credentials are on file with the city. This is City of Daytona Beach versus Thomas S. Cianoblo. Property address is 11 North Hollywood. Violations of the outside storage, peeling paint, no occupational license, all still exist. All notifications have been made. No contact whatsoever. Same as with the lots that are contiguous to this parcel. It is a rental. We are looking for a $100 a day fine with a $15,000 max.
Quick question.
Occupied?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you have a question, Mr. Byrne?
She answered.
Okay. Based on the inspector's testimony and hearing her information that was provided, Chair will entertain a motion imposing a fine of $100 per day with a maximum amount of $15,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Effective
second.
Today, January 12, 2012.
Oh, an occupation.
And requiring the respondent to secure or obtain an occupational license.
Yeah.
Or imposing a one-time administrative fee of $250. What would I do without my vice chair?
So moved.
Yeah. We have a motion by Mr. Brown. Second. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Smart. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign.
Other question. Did the $250 administrative fee get added in?
Yes.
Go ahead. Okay.
Okay.
Is there any miscellaneous business that needs to be brought forward by either staff or any member of the board?
I just think Mr. Garcia is a little in a computer down there. All of us should have one like that.
Talk to the city.
No, thank you.
Take home my version, though, Amy.
Can I ask one question?
Sure.
On the cases that Vicki brought before us, do we have the right address for this guy? I can't believe that they wouldn't respond in any. I just can't imagine they wouldn't respond. Knowing that, you know. I guess they feel that if they don't respond, you'll go away, right?
Mr. Smart, are you saying you think it's weird that they just ignore code enforcement, huh?
Well, when they know they're going to be fined.
Are there additional questions by any member of the board or city staff? Move for adjournment.